Thank you for joining us on our sermon podcast today. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel United Methodist Church states that by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you grow in God's grace, trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Today, we are blessed to have one of our lay servants share their message with us today. We hope that this message encourages you, challenges you, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you, and God bless.
Okay, so our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It is in our pew Bibles on page 812. So I'll give you a second to find that. And if you can and are able, please stand for our reading. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last time I got up to speak about confirmation, I had a sucker stuck to my pants. And I checked today and I don't. But if you see something, please tell me. So he's not kidding. Sunday night, me and Michelle and Ron and my mom, finished up our class and got our certificates at like 6:30. And then Monday morning, no kidding, about 10:30, he asked me to speak. So here I am. I just asked for a little grace because the call to clergy between this set of twins begins and ends with him. So a lot of you know me as the pastor's sister, probably more Bailey's mom. Bailey running around, I'm usually chasing her. And that's great because those are two titles that I hold dear to my heart. But I was going to tell you a little bit more about myself. One thing some of you might not know about me is I am a runner, which might sound kind of funny because I don't look like your typical runner, really thin and fit, and that's not me. But though I enjoy running and fitness and I try to eat healthy. But I ran in high school to kind of stay in shape. I played three sports. And then I got to college and I started running as more of a sport. I was a manager of a clothing store and all I did all day was talk to people all day long. I talked to customers and my employees and the boss and so many different people. And it was quiet time for me. And I enjoyed it so much. It was my favorite part of the day. And I would run over the Cooper River Bridge. I lived in Mount Pleasant. And it was so beautiful to run over that every day, to run over Shim Creek. It was my favorite thing. And then I met my husband. We got married. A little bit later, we had Bailey. We had moved. And I had stopped running. It was something that I didn't make a priority in my life anymore, and I'd stopped. And then about a year and a half after Bailey was born, we had moved several times, and I'd put Bailey in the stroller, and we'd walk, and we'd go to the nearby playgrounds, but I just needed something else for myself. And so I started running again. And as soon as I got back into it, it took some time. It was really hard. Running's not easy if you haven't been doing it. It's hard. I think it's very hard for me. But I got back into it, and I just realized how much I missed it and how much it brought to my life. It was something for myself. It was something I did for myself. It wasn't taking care of Bailey or taking care of anybody else. It was something I did for me. And it just meant so much to me. And that has been a lot like my spiritual journey. I grew up in the Methodist church. I grew up in church all the time. I was very active in youth as a child. And I went to college, and I didn't attend a church anymore. I would still have said I was a Christian. I still believed in my faith, but I didn't go anymore. And then I started coming back here, and this church has meant so much to me because it has reminded me like how much I needed a home church, how much you need that. And it has strengthened my faith. Just like getting back into running, I didn't realize how much I needed it that's how it's been being here, and I'm so grateful to that. But I'm constantly trying to convince some friends and my brother to do races with me. And he's talked in some of his sermons about last summer I convinced him to do a series of 5Ks, and he hated it every second of it, except when we got tacos afterwards. But it was so much fun. And one of the reasons why I'm always trying to get friends or my brother or whoever to run races with me is because it's just so much more fun when you do it with friends. It's like, you know, and I've done some races with friends who are much faster than me, so I don't keep up with them. I just kind of, we giggle before the race, and then afterwards we get food. We eat. We have breakfast or tacos or whatever. So I'm constantly trying to convince people to do it with me because it's just so much more fun. And I'm always saying, if I can do it, you can do it. Like, I had not ran in a couple years, and I had, like, had a baby and gained weight, and I was out of shape. And I was like, if I can do it, I promise you can do it. There is nothing special about me as a runner. Nothing. And then I, you know, thought about that as I was putting this together, and I thought about Andrew, not just as my pastor, but as my brother. He's constantly pushing us as members of this church, pushing us as servants to do more, to be more of a servant, to serve our church, to serve our community, to serve God in ways. And he does it for the same reasons that I want him to run. And I think that God knew that if he put him as my pastor, it would push me a little bit harder because I wouldn't tell him no. And he asked me, he said, if someone else were going to ask you to stand up there and speak, would you? And I was like, well, I guess because I'm a people pleaser. Like, I don't want people to be mad at me. But I definitely am not going to tell him no. And I really think next time I ask you to run a race, you have to say yes now. I mean, I'm just saying. But he pushes us because he knows what it can bring to our life. And he knows what God has done for him, for me, for every one of you, for this church. He knows that how important it is. And I promise you, if I can do it, stand up here, you can do it. And maybe I'm not talking about stand up here and speak to the church, but serve in some sort of way. There's nothing, God has not equipped me in any sort of way better to stand up here and speak to you than anybody else. And the only thing special about me as a Christian is that I am a sinner saved by grace. And anyone can serve in some sort of way. We'll revisit the Great Commission just a little bit. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always till the very end of the age. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, make disciples of all nations. He wants his disciples to disciple others. And, you know, when I hear that, it reminds me a lot of our mission statement, become and make disciples. That's what he wants the disciples to do. I'm going to tell you another story. I encourage you to look it up. It's in Matthew 17, and it's about a man whose son was possessed by demons. He had seizures, and he took his son to the disciples and asked, will you heal him? And the disciples could not heal him. So he took him to Jesus, and he told Jesus, I've taken my child to the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus is a little put out with the disciples. And so he heals him. He's Jesus. He heals the boy. And the disciples go to him later privately and say, why could we not heal him? And this is what Jesus tells them. Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that's Matthew 17:20. That's such a powerful story and verse, because I never feel worthy. I never feel good enough for anything, not just serving, because that's hard in itself, but as a wife, as a mom, sister, you name it, whatever title I have, I don't feel good enough. I'm always worried, am I doing what's right for Bailey? Am I doing what's right for my family? Whatever it is, I never really feel good enough. But Jesus says, I will be with you always. In the Great Commission. And he says, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, that nothing will be impossible for us. And I think about it, and I think how like weak and little I am, but I am weak and he is strong. And he will make up the difference for me. If he puts something on my heart and calls me to do something to serve him, and I think I can't do that, and that happens all the time, He will make up that difference for me. I actually ran a race this past weekend. We went to Aiken. My in-laws live in Aiken, and we went to visit them. And I ran a 5K, and there were some firefighters, and they were in their full gear. They had their pack on, their oxygen pack. They had everything on, and they were carrying an American flag. And I was like, that was so awesome. I had passed them as we were stopping at a water stop, and I almost couldn't stop, like, wanted to cry. And I patted them on the back, and I said, thank you. And they weren't doing it for the thanks, but I thought, like, look at them going the extra mile. And that's how we should be as servants. We should go that extra mile. Here they are with all this stuff on their firefighters. They do this all the time. They should just take it off and run a regular 5K like all the rest of us. But they didn't. They went that extra mile. I've seen military guys in races and their full uniform running races with their packs. And a few weeks ago was the Cooper River Bridge Run in Charleston, and I did not go to it. I did not run it. But there were two guys who ran it carrying a cross, like a big cross that they made, and they carried it the entire way, 6.2 miles, because of what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross. I want to read another verse for you. It's Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, go, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that is so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, that's it. Running is such a example of life. Life gets so hard sometimes, and you get thrown down, or you come to a hill, and you think, I cannot make it up this hill, but just one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and you get over the hill. And it's a lot like serving as well. We get pushed or called by our pastor to do something, and you think, I don't have time for that. I can't do that. I don't like talking in front of people. There's just no way I can do that. But you can. Christ died for us on a cross, and we are called to serve him. That is what we are called to do. So, you know my daughter, Bailey. If some of you don't, she's usually running around. She was oddly still today. But I'm constantly trying to cover Bailey and just in love, and I try and tell her all the time that she's smart and she's beautiful and she's brave and that I'm so proud of her, because she's going to grow up in this world, and this world is going to tell her that she's not good enough. That's what this world is telling our kids. And I want her to know that I love her, that God loves her. Jesus died for her, and she's special. And I try and, like, hug her and kiss her all the time. And I'll tuck her into bed, and I just say I love you so many times. And if you've spent any time with Bailey, you know that she's going to be four this summer, and she doesn't talk much. It's one of her challenges, or one of her little delays that she has, but she doesn't talk much. And I tell her I love her, and she doesn't say I love you back. She can't. She just can't. But the way she shows me that she loves me is so much greater than that. She has started tucking her dad into bed. So Brandon goes to bed fairly early. He gets up really early. And she grabs his hand, she'll take him to the bed, and she covers him up, and she'll pat him, and she'll kiss him, and she'll say, she can say night-night, so she'll say night-night. And she'll go turn off the light, and it's so precious. And that shows so much more love than I love you, 1,000 times more than I love you. And that's exactly what serving is like. When you serve, you get so much more in return. Andrew approached me earlier in the year about teaching confirmation and about being the mentor, and I thought, he has lost his mind. But I did not tell him no, because I'm not going to tell him no. I'm going to do it. So I did it. I got my book. I read my mentor book, and we prepared for it. And when I tell you that these two girls right here, I'm so glad they're up here. They have given me so much more than what I could give them. Because we go to bless others, you will get so much more in return. And that they have done that for me. And I hope you're still praying for them, because confirmation is going so well, and it's just been such a blessing in my life. So continue to pray for our girls as you go throughout your day and in our life. So that's what I want to keep praying for us as a church. I want to pray that we keep serving, we keep seeking God, we keep serving our church here, our community. There's so much. Those cards are just precious. Like, I almost start crying to think about these kids who are so grateful for just ice cream, something that Bailey can have anytime. She can't ask for it, but I can give her ice cream anytime. And they're just so grateful for that, because it's showing them love, and we're showing them God's love. They may not even know it, but that's what we're doing. And you may think, like, I don't know how to serve, I don't know what to do, but there's so many opportunities. Bible school's coming up. There's so many things. There's always something. Just ask somebody who you see running around doing stuff and just say, how can I help? What way can I serve? There's so much to do. So I challenge you to pray about it. Listen to what God puts on your heart. And when you think about, like, I'm not good enough, or I can't because I'm too busy and I'm tired, or whatever it may be, whatever your excuses are, your weaknesses or your failures in life, you think, I don't want to do that because I failed at that before. I challenge you to do it anyway, to step up and to let God lead you, because he will. And I was going to bring my phone and time myself. I have no idea where we are on time. But we're going to close with the song, Here I Am, Lord. I just want to read you a little bit of the song. It says, I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And my prayer is that you'll say, send me, Lord. I will do what you've called me to do. That's what he said. Therefore, go and make disciples. And in doing that, you'll become a better disciple, I promise. Thank you.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.